WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is fashion writer Kennedy Fraser. She's been writing about the world of fashion and high style for The New Yorker magazine for nearly 20 years. She's covered countless fashion shows and seen skirt lengths go up and down and up again. Her first book, The Fashionable Mind, was a collection of New Yorker essays reflecting her opinions on the subject of fashion from 1970 to 1981. In her new book, Scenes from the Fashionable World, she's collected recent New Yorker pieces where she functions more as the detached and observant reporter. In these pieces, she describes such scenes as a session with fashion photographer Norman Parkinson, the launching of a new perfume, and the clothes, food, and flowers that make up a glittery New York party. Kennedy Fraser came to New York from her native England in 1968. I asked her how she got started writing about fashion.
I always say that it was because I was walking down the corridors of the New Yorker in my miniskirt, and William Shawn, the great editor of the New Yorker, thought that I would be a suitable candidate. He liked my writing, and he saw that I was very interested in style, and I was that generation in England, you know, that was very interested in style. And that was just how it happened. I started out writing book reviews, and then I became the New Yorker's fashion critic when I was 23.
You started writing about fashion in 1970. What was the state of the fashion industry then?
Well, it was a fascinating moment, really, to start writing about fashion. As I say, I came from England, and I was the generation in England for whom the miniskirt was a tremendous and genuine statement of social change and new sexual mores and women's liberation and all sorts of things. And I came to America, actually I came the day before the Democratic National Convention in 1968. That was my introduction to the life in this country. The women in America when I came were still sort of wearing sort of miniskirts. I mean, they were just above their knees, you know, and they had that kind of vaguely courage style and those huge earrings that looked like golf balls and things. And then all sorts of very sort of eccentric little things going on, like the eccentric byways of style history, such as hot pants, which I actually wore. I mean, it's very hard to believe that, but I did. I actually came to the New Yorker office in my hot pants.
That is hard to believe.
But actually, you know, there I was, as I say, I was young and I was starting out at the New Yorker. I was actually the first person at the New Yorker office to come to the office in trousers. I mean, nobody told me I couldn't do that, but it just turned out that that I was a pioneer, you see. And when I first came to New York in 1968, I remember being turned away from the plaza because I was wearing trousers. And we did all these funny tricks of, you know, going out on the streets and rolling up our trousers under our coats so that we could get into restaurants and bars, you know. This all seems a very long time ago, doesn't it?
I once got thrown out of school for wearing culottes.
Now, it's incredible to think that the rules were so rigid in those days.
Yeah. The fashion world seems to keep shifting our sense of what's attractive. One year we think short skirts are attractive, then the next we think long skirts are attractive, colors go in and out, styles of dresses go in and out. What are some of the techniques for changing what we perceive as being attractive?
Techniques on whose part? Do you mean on the part of the designers or the industry? Or
The industry who pushes the lines each year.
You know, I'm often sort of asked this question about this sort of sinister, you know, industry sort of pushing things on us. I believe that we do have free choice, and I don't, you know, it's a very big business, and it's a very powerful industry, and it does a lot of advertising, but we don't have to. We certainly never have to fall victim to the so-called dictates of the fashion industry, you know? We really can do what we want.
Have you changed your mind about that? I just thought in your book, The Fashionable Mind, that you thought the fashion industry was much more manipulative than you're letting on now. Yeah, I'm going to quote a couple of things that you wrote in earlier years. You wrote, "It's fashion's business to manipulate our memories." And by that, you were talking about how it was the job of the fashion world to make our old clothes seem out of date so that we'd run out and buy new ones. And you wrote, while the rush is on, fashion is good for business, but it is hardly beneficial to society, talent, or the mind. And in the long run, fashion may prove very bad for life.
Yeah, someone in my in the review of my new book, Scenes from the Fashionable World, said that that this is much less ideological than my first book, and perhaps that's true. I think I was a lot angrier. I think we were all a lot angrier 10 or 15 years ago than we are now. Certainly, I was. I was more inclined to see plots and. Again, it's part of being that same generation. I was instinctively iconoclastic, and I don't know where that comes from, but, so many of us were. We instinctively decided that we had to sort of invent a whole new way of running the world, and that's certainly what I did as a young fashion writer. I think probably, I'm more mature and I see things as being somewhat more complex.
Do you consider yourself part of the fashion press?
I've always had this odd role as sort of an outsider in that world. And I suppose I am a part of the fashion press, although... I actually haven't written a fashion column for The New Yorker for many years. I think it's about 5 years now, a fashion column as such. But, I just happen to be in the world of fashion, but I'm functioning as a reporter, which is very different from being a fashion reporter.
Are there ways that you think the fashion press is expected to hype new fashions?
Well... I don't really know how it works for other people, and I wouldn't like to venture an opinion on that. But I suspect that some of them sort of think that they have to go along with prevailing opinion more than they actually have to. But then it's very hard to develop one's own opinions. It takes a considerable effort. I remember when I used to cover the fashion shows and everyone was saying, oh, this is important, this is important. They were all sort of, there's a tremendous kind of group enthusiasm and a tremendous impulse to describe whatever, to agree on what's important that season. And it was a tremendous mental effort for me to say, well, no, that may be important to them, but it's not what's important to me.
Is the world of fashion a good place to study values in women's roles and how ideas are changing?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Of course it is. I mean, it is no more or less than life itself. And at least, it's the external part of life. There's a whole other part of life that has nothing to do with what sort of car we have or where we live or any of that, thank God. But it's a very, very important part of life. And I was just thinking, this is a very funny moment for fashion. There's a lot of talk about the miniskirt again. Just at this moment when, we're going to, they're talking about appointing this man to the Supreme Court who's so anti-abortion, and, when there's so much reluctance to engage in sexual activities because of the fear of AIDS... So that the miniskirt, that was this thing that originally sprung up as a completely spontaneous expression of social change, is now being revived in a completely, artificial way, really. Well, artificial, except that I think what it has to do with a certain kind of visual change and the need for visual change. People's legs have perhaps been hidden for too long, and it's time to expose them. And that's the need for visual change is a real thing in fashion. It's not only a question of what things mean on the deepest level.
Would you ever wear a miniskirt again?
I think perhaps I might leave it to those who are now starting out.
Okay. Kennedy Fraser, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Kennedy Fraser covers fashion for The New Yorker magazine. Her new book is called Scenes from the Fashionable World.